Welcome to the Powerlifting and Power Ballads podcast, where we bring you a weekly dose of powerlifting news, tips, and training advice with a touch of 80s rock ballads. This podcast is presented by Team Roar Powerlifting, your source of the most comprehensive coaching and meet day preparation. Here are your hosts, Josh Rohr and Laura Sturm.
All right, welcome to episode 37 of Powerlifting and Power Ballads podcast. I'm your co-host, Laura Sturm.
And I'm Josh Rohr.
And this is episode 37. Woohoo! So just a reminder, we do stream live while we record each episode. Join us each Monday at noon Eastern time on Instagram live at PL Ballads Podcast to join in the conversation. Also check out at Team Rohr at Instagram for all of your powerlifting coaching needs.
Awesome. So we got a special guest with us today. She is a member of Team Rohr. She's a multi-time Georgia State champion. She finished in the top 20 at the 2016 Raw Nationals in Atlanta, Georgia. Her best competition lifts are 314 squat, 214 bench, 402 deadlift in the 72 kilo class. And she is a mother of two, Zion age 4 and Ezra age 2. Welcome to the podcast, Adaku Taylor.
Thank
you. We love guests.
Thank you. I'm excited to be on here. It's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. I hope you're ready. So we just got a couple questions for you. Like I said, we just want to kind of get a little bit of insight into your world and see how things are in your world. So we'll start off. I guess, how did you get into powerlifting?
So I've always been an athlete. Like, I was a student athlete. I went to Georgia State University. I ran track there. So I've always known sports all my life. After that, after graduating, I just kind of needed something to continue to compete in. When I ran track, I strained my hamstring and I never really quite recovered. So I was looking for a sport that kind of helped strengthen me as well as allowed me to compete. So I found, I think, Olympic lifting, and that was good, but I also found powerlifting at that time, and I just kind of liked how powerlifting was and the lifts that we did, and just kind of stuck to it since then.
Cool.
So what about powerlifting did you like?
The deadlifts.
Yes.
I like deadlifting, and that kind of came natural to me. Mm-hmm. I remember when I did run track in college, like we did a lot of lifting, like we did squat in my strength class. I mean, in my strength, we had like lifting classes that we had to go to like twice a week. And my coach there like had us compete. And so I won like the best squat in my, I guess on my team.
Best so squat.
Yeah, I know, right. Squats. Oh my gosh.
It definitely came natural then, huh?
So, right. So I knew like I had a just a natural strength. So powerlifting did come easy for me. So that's why I kind of went that route.
Cool. So a question I have for you. So you've had two kids. Mm-hmm. It seems like every time we're ramping up to really do something, you decided to have a kid, right?
Yeah.
So is there any point like that you ever felt like that was going to be too much and powerlifting was going to have to go?
With my son, Ezra, he's two now, but when I had him, I had like an emergency C-section and the recovery was very tough. Like, so I just thought like I lost my strength and I probably wasn't going to recover fully to compete again. But, you know, Josh like really worked with me on a professional level, like just, you know, helped me safely come back and always let me know that, no, you're going to be fine. And so that really helped. But yeah, I thought like, I thought, you know, I just got this major surgery and it was hard enough just recovering. I don't know how I'm going to ever train and compete to the level that I was, you know, I was at before I had him. So.
Yeah. And one thing, so I want to bring something up here. It popped up in my Facebook memory or whatever at the newsfeed memories or memories on Facebook or Instagram somewhere. I saw it, but it was a picture of you squatting 95 pounds, which was the first day you came back after, I guess it would have been after Ezra. But I remember we were doing sets of five at 95 pounds. And again, your best squat's 314, right? And you didn't, like I told you, we're only going to 95. Like, and you're just like, okay, fine. But as you're doing it, like you're complaining about how hard it is and like how bad it feels and all these things. And I guess I'm just curious, like what, like you never had any, like you were complaining about how hard it was and how bad it felt, but like you never flinched in terms of like doing what, you know, doing what we laid out. And now you're back, you know, well beyond that. I guess my main question I'm asking here is like, do you have any like words for any other mothers that might be like dealing with the same thing, or well, anybody really that just, you know, has taken a hiatus and has to come back?
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest thing is just you have to pace yourself and just kind of learn what, like, listen to your body. And just take time, you know, because your body changes after a kid, like by far, and especially after two kids. So you have to say, okay, well, I may not, you know, lift 95 pounds. I mean, it seems very heavy. And yeah, I can't just jump in and start lifting, you know, 314 pounds. I have to listen to my body and just trust that I can get stronger. So, but it's good to just like, just take time out and just say, you know what? I'm a mother, I've had two kids and things are gonna be a little slow, but you just have to like, just keep pushing. So it's also good to have a good team and a good coach, like for real, cause I've been through several coaches and it's good to have a good environment that supports you and, you know, and can safely get you to where you want to get to. So, you know, like Josh said, you know, 95 pounds, you know, of course I wanted to say, okay, just, you know, let's go heavier or like this feels heavy or like, cause I'm always complaining and, you know, he's just always like, you know, trying to be positive and say, don't worry, you know, we'll get there. And so that was pretty important in the process. So.
Well, to be fair, like you're not a complainer. Like I was just making a point, like that was your first day back. Like there's times where you're in here, like, I mean, you work really hard and you don't really complain. So that's a question I have in a little while I'll get to.
I was always impressed how you would come in. I don't know. It's kind of, I think we were training at like 9 a.m. at that time when you were coming back. And you were like, oh yeah, I've just worked a double, or you would just come out of work and then driven an insane amount of time just to get there. Like what drove you to literally drive that far in that early to, yeah, just to
do it.
Train?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess just knowing like just kind of like your goals. Yeah, I used to work like night shifts and that's the only time I had to train was right after work. So I would get a cup of coffee and just kind of keep me awake and just come out and train. Cause I know, you know, once I go home, I have to sleep and then I have the kids and, you know, so I have to train right after work. I guess just trying to stay motivated and just knowing how I feel after I lift. That's my biggest thing is like, I know after I lift that I feel amazing, I feel accomplished, and just having a goal in mind and just being able to reach that goal. That's what pushes me. It's like saying, okay, you know, and the goal that day could just be getting through the workout. Like it's like, okay, you have this in front of you, let's just get through it and you'll feel better. So there's no like concrete answer. I wish I could say, oh, this is what did it, you know, but I don't know. It's just like the older you get, the, you know, you kind of lose focus of stuff that makes you happy. So taking time to realize, okay, this actually makes me happy and I need to invest that time in that. And
Right. Well, I know as a mom, and just, you know, women in general, we tend to kind of give and take care of other people. And then sometimes we have to take that, we have to carve out that time to take care of ourselves. And I know there was a time where I kind of identified, well, I really like to train. And, you know, the only time I'm going to get to do it, my time was usually 9 o'clock at night, like right when the kids had gone to sleep. So I would do my training right then. And then, you know, once they get a little bit older, once they were in school, my training time could shift. So you just, you're kind of working around their schedule and still taking care of them. But at the same time, when there's time, you're like, okay, this is my time. This is it. And I'm carving this out. And this is my time to take care of me and do something I like to do, not really for anyone else.
Right. And like, you know, some people like going to the spa and get a pedicure, mani and stuff like that. I like lifting, you know, that's like a stress relief. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it helps me like know that I'm still investing in myself and taking care of myself as well. So it gives me both like the health and fitness benefit, as well as just the fulfillment that, you know, I get from it.
Do you ever get like any family members or anything like that saying, well, you know, lifting's not very feminine? Or do you ever get any flack like that from coworkers?
Yes. So before I had Zion, my first, you know, I had family members that were like, oh, you should probably like think about kids. Are you sure this is not going to prevent you from having kids? You know, things like that. So I come from like a fitness background, and kind of like exercise physiology and like sports medicine and things like that. So I know, you know, the science and the physiology behind, you know, what I do for the most part. And, you know, I'm like, that's not, you know, that's not going to happen. You know, like you can still lift and not, you know, like turn into a man or whatever. You can still have
kids.
And if anything, you know, you're building, you know, muscles will help with the weight loss aspect, as well as, you know, building bone density with, you know, certain conditions and disease processes that we can have in the future. So lifting is very protective, you know, strength training, you know, studies have shown that, you know, helps out with, as far as preventative wise, with a lot of disease processes in the future. So, so there's a lot of benefit from it, but yeah, I've had people tell me that, like, you know, why don't you just, you know, like do cardio or like do something. I'm like, I do, but like, I like to lift. I like lifting heavy things. Like.
Right. And I think you could still be plenty feminine. It's just, you know, I think there was some point that I had that thought too. Like if you lift heavy, you're just not going to be feminine. And I don't know. I got over that at some point.
It just my question is like, who defines what feminine is? Like
true.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah. Right? What is feminine? Yeah. Like.
Yeah. My family would always be like, oh, you know, you're going to hurt yourself. And it's like, actually, well, you know, there's a periodic progression that, you know, you're getting stronger and getting stronger and getting stronger. It's not like you just go out and go, oh, well, you know, hell, I'm just going to squat, you know, 314 pounds today. Never done a squat before, but well, let's just do it. I mean, that's what would get you hurt.
Yeah.
But.
And there are times I think before I started lifting, like, you know, like my family, like if I'm carrying groceries from the car, they're like, oh, let me do it. But now they're like, oh no, she's a power lifter. Go get it. Like, she's good. Like, so people now they're realizing, like, you know, I guess the feminine thing used to be like, oh, don't let the girls lift heavy stuff. Like, let the guys do it. But now, you know, like my brothers, they'll be like, oh no, she's fine. Like, she got it, you know, like stuff like that. So I'm like,
I'm moving next weekend. What are you doing, Adopt? Yeah,
even my mom, she was the biggest one, like, oh, you know, put the weights down, what are you doing? But now she's like, oh no, my daughter, she's a power lifter, she got it, like, take the suitcase upstairs, you know. So I'm like, oh, thanks mom, cool. Yeah. So there people are accepting it now, like women in powerlifting, people are starting to say, okay, you know, like, it's a thing, you know, like, and I think it's very motivational for a lot of women to know that, you know, they can be in this sport and you know, do it for them and get stronger. And there's nothing wrong with it. So.
I realize I forgot to ask you what you do. I know what you do, but for the listeners out there, what do you actually do?
So I'm a physician assistant. I'm in a medical field. So that's kind of like, that's a medical provider. I work in urgent care and emergency medicine part-time, but I also work in physical medicine and rehab, kind of like orthopedic. I do that full-time. And pretty much I take care of patients, I treat them. So I can diagnose, I can treat, write prescriptions, order labs and imaging and things like that, like pretty much like a doctor. So that's what I do. And then I also am a full-time mom. So I do that too, and a wife. So that's pretty much it.
Were you going to school back when you started?
Yes. So I started powerlifting, I want to say like 2013 or 14. It's been a while. But so when I started, I went through several coaches before I found Josh. And when I started with Josh, or I wanted to start with Josh, I got accepted into school and I started training. I started going to school. So we had to kind of get a little creative on how we can continue to train while I was in school. It was really hard. So that, you know, it was kind of like train when I can, if I can, you know. So he was still writing some programming, but I wasn't really able to do the lifts in school because it was just a really tough program. And then when I, around graduation, then I got pregnant with my firstborn, and so I couldn't train. I couldn't really train because with school and pregnant, it was just too much. And then when I had Zion, I was in clinicals, and that's when I was kind of trying to train a little bit more and come to some of the training classes. And so it was a lot. It was a lot in school. But you know, Josh always had tried to find a way to make it work, and you know, that was kept me going. So
we actually, while we're kind of on that topic, we have a listener question. Trueborn Strong asks, what do you look for in a coach?
Great question. Someone who is, knowledgeable, excuse me, about the sport, has experience, has worked with, you know, other people in whatever sport it is. Someone who is compassionate, that knows, you know, like when, like, oh, how do I say this? Someone who knows when to push and when to hold back. You know what I mean? Like they've been doing this so long that they know. Someone who is just a good person. I mean, like, you know, like I said, I've had several coaches, and like, you just have to find that person who is a good person at heart, who knows when to push. I mean, you'll have some days where you don't even want to show up and your coach will be like, where are you? You know what I mean? Like, and when you're there, you know, they'll know what to do. like turn on your favorite music or something like that when you're having a bad day, you know, or, you know, like just a good person. Like and when you find that coach, you'll know.
Yeah. Not everybody is, I think people take it personally, like, you know, lifters and coaches, if it's not a good fit. But I think, you know, my theory or my philosophy is like, if it's not a good fit, it's not a good fit. That's nothing against anybody. Like, you know, find somebody that clicks with you and you click with, and you know, it's, again, this is something you enjoy. So enjoy it to the fullest, find the right fit.
Yep.
Good point.
Hope's question. So Hope's question was, you already kind of answered it, but she wants to know how to bottle up your motivation and share it, because there's days that you drive, again, you know, 45 minutes to an hour to get here. And some days, like, you have to go into work or you don't have the time. So you drive that amount of time, train for 30 minutes. Like, there's days where you only had 30 minutes. You got in what you could and then drove 45 minutes to work. Like, she wants to know, Hope is my wife. She wants to know how to get some of that motivation. How are you going to answer that?
I love that question. Geez. Okay. Let me think of an answer. Oh man. How can I bottle up my motivation and distribute it? Okay, cool. Mm. I would say, you know, everyone is different. You have to find what you love. And you just have to make time for it. Let me stop. Like, I hate to just say it's all about me. It's really not. Like, I have an amazing husband. Like, he is my rock. So I cannot take all the credit. Really, I can't take any credit. He's just been so supportive. You know, he's the one that looks after the kids and, you know, allows me to do what I do, you know, and tries to find a time for me to do what I do. So with that, you know, with that kind of support, I feel like, you know, the sky's my limit. So like some days when I can only train for 30 minutes or sometimes 20 minutes, like, I'm like, at least it's something, you know, just get it in, and you know how you feel afterwards. Just get it in. So just find what you love, make sure you have a good support system to help you, you know, do what you love.
I think there's a great answer.
Yeah. Really. I honestly wasn't sure how you were going to answer that. I was expecting a pass. That was a good answer.
She's not scary. Yeah. She's scary easy. Yep. Well, that's awesome. So how do you manage all your balancing all that? I mean, what you said was working full time and part time, two small children, and not, you know, it's one thing to have a 10-year-old, but 4 and 2, that's, you know, that's a lot. Like, that's, how do you manage to just balance all of that?
Yeah. Like I said, just my husband, he's just amazing. I don't know what I would do without him. And, you know, scheduling, like, you know, on a Sunday, we'll plan out a whole schedule for the week. You know, like, who's going to get the kids from daycare and what times I train. I mean, you got to prep. It's preparation. If you don't prep, then, I mean, prepping schedule, prepping meals, prepping, you know, just the kids' nighttime routine, you know, with kids, I mean, it's all about preparation. So on Sundays, we have our Sunday meeting where we, like, you know, start off with prayer, and we'll kind of like just lay out of our whole schedule, both of us, and we'll just figure out, okay, this is what you're doing on Monday. This, you know, you get off of work at this time, you'll train at this time. I'll pick up the kids, you know, I'll have dinner and, you know, you'll warm up dinner. Kids take a bath at this time. So everything is like scheduled, planned out ahead of time. So that's how, I mean, you just have to, again, like with him, you know, we just work it out together. So I don't know how single moms do it, to be honest. My mom was a single mom of 5, and every day I'm like, I don't know how you raised us. And I know some amazing single moms out there. So, I mean, if anybody's a single mom and is on this pod, sees this, I mean, if you guys want to comment, and because, I mean, it's incredible. Just, I mean, I'm doing it because I have a lot of support, but single moms, I mean, I have a heart for them. Seriously. I don't know. So.
That would be tough. I'm with you on that.
All right, let's shift gears. Let's get to the the part I've been waiting on here, the music. I'm such a simple person. So you have a very interesting music selection when you, cause you mentioned earlier, like turning on the right song or whatever. So talk about your music that you turn, like that makes you, I don't know, you turn, when you turn it on and you lift better to this stuff, what do you listen to?
So I know a lot of my teammates laugh at me and they're like, what are you listening to? I listen to like Coldplay, Seal, just something with like, you know, just like good quiet melody, like to, because my thing is like, you know, some people listen to like rock and rap and, you know, they get crunk and they're like, I just, if I start listening to that kind of stuff, I get too anxious. Like it makes my heart rate go up and I'm just like, I can't really concentrate. So I need something toned down, or even some instrumentals I listen to, like just to, like, you know, Enigma, like Enya, like, to just get, I just need to be chill, you know, like, and then when I have that chill mentality, then I can think of all, you know, like everything, like we've rehearsed and practiced, you know, like visualize my lifting, you know, like, and just, then I can be able to carry it out. Like, I don't know. It's just.
Everybody has their own thing that, you know, makes them sick. I mean, I've got this Kenny Loggins song that, you know, that people make fun of me for, and, you know, we make fun of Josh for all his music
for everything. You know, so with,
so that's fine. So, wow.
So what are your three, give me three go-to songs, Adaku.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, okay. I would say like, Coldplay, Yellow. Let's see, Seal, Crazy, and let's see, let's throw in someone else in there. I guess anything with like Enigma in it, you know? So that's it.
Just chill sounds.
Chill.
Yeah. Hey, I like it. I think anything that helps you focus, you know, or ratchet it up, that really works.
And I think it's important to note too, that I think the perception is power lifters listen to heavy metal and do all this crazy stuff. But that might be what some people do. And that might be the loudest thing that you see, but that's not what most, I mean, everybody doesn't do that. I think this is a good example. Like you do what works for you. So, mm-hmm. You know, yeah,
absolutely. All right, so we'll move on to the powerlifting situation.
Oh yeah.
So this one is coming out on Tuesday. All right, so and this would be a good one to just ask you, because this is not just a set powerlifting situation. So describe your most challenging day in which you made the decision to still get in a training session.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You said describe my most what day?
Your most challenging day. Okay. That day that maybe, wow, you really didn't feel like training. You got a lot going on, but you still did it.
Like every day.
So I think that's probably pretty accurate for you. Like, I just want to say this. Let me pause this for a second. Like, I just want to say, like, one of the reasons that I asked you to be on this is because, and Hope and I have talked about this multiple times, like both of us are just so, I guess, impressed at your dedication to it, because you have every excuse not to be here training. Like you got so much going on at work. You got two kids that, you know, you're raising, like your time. I mean, you have the best argument that you don't have enough time, but you still get it in. So I think people need to know or see that, I guess, that it can be done, because yeah, I'll just be honest. If I'm in your shoes, I'm not training. Like I'm not training.
Josh, every day, you'd just be like, oh, sorry, that was challenging, not doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, yeah, like every day, most days, because I train after work. So you know, you get your work stress is just another form of stress. But yeah, after work, you're just like so beat down, you know, and you just want to go home and sleep. But again, you just think about how you're going to feel after you train, you know, how energetic, how, you know, fulfilled that you've actually, you know, did something, you know, that you, like, you know, accomplished a goal. And again, it helps to have that support system, you know, like a good coach who you can just say, like, some days I've come in there, it's like, Josh, I just don't know, you know, like, I don't know, I'm sorry, I don't know, I feel awful today. And, you know, he'll know when, like, I need to push myself, and he'll know when to, you know, like, decrease the weights or take it easy. Like, I mean, he's just very good at that, you know, with all his experiences and things like that. So I appreciate that a lot. So having a good coach, and then, you know, just with my husband, you know, just knowing that, you know, he'll take care of the kids, and, you know, so that part is done, you know, I don't have to think about that. So that helps. And all I have to do is just show up, you know, so I tell myself, just show up. And sometimes that's all I have is, like, I tell Josh, hey, I'm here.
Like, I'll see you next time.
I don't know what I'm going to give you, but hey, I'm here. Like, you know, and I'm like, I thought just showing up is will be good enough, but he's like, all right, let's get to work. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Like,
you know, like, well, I mean, you're going to show up, and then you're going to do what's written.
Right. You know? Just show up. Yeah. And just start, just like you said, like, look at what's written and just say, hey, you know, I'm going to warm up. And, you know, before you know it, you're like, okay, wow. Okay. I'm feeling good. You know, like the other day we had, I was doing some bench, and, you know, my first two sets were crap. I'm like, it feels like crap. It looks like crap. And by the third set, I'm like, okay, here we go. You know what I mean? And then we were able to add more weights, but like, just show up. So that would be like my takeaway to like a lot of people out there who have life and, you know, just stress and things like that, and want to try to get lifting in. I would just say, just show up. Whether it's virtual training or in-person training, just show up.
Great advice.
So do either of you have like a memory of like one of those days that, I mean, outside of every day for you, Adaku, that was just like not ideal, and probably most 99% of people would have just went home and slept? I have one, which is why I wanted to put that as a situation, but I just want to see if you guys have one.
I have one. I was at one point there was I was in a custody battle with my ex-husband for my full custody of my kids, and it was right before Worlds. I think we were doing like our last heavy, you know, this is it, let's see what we're going to do. And we're about to go to Worlds, and, you know, my ex is calling me, my lawyer's calling me, all this stuff's going on. I don't know what's going to happen. It's so high stress. And it seemed surreal. And then I was just like, all right, well, I'm going to shut that off now. And I'm just going to focus on getting this in. And I remember feeling like, oh, I don't know, even know if I can do this. But, you know, you just kind of turn that all off and get back in and focus and get it done.
Yeah. I remember that day.
wasn't a great day. Aww. And then I think, you know, I was at Worlds and he called me, and I like didn't even tell him I was in Pilsen. You know, I was in Czech Republic and I just pretended I'm just not. And, yeah. But you just focus and you get through. Yeah. And I was glad that Josh was there to just, yeah, kind of snap me out of it and say, we're just going to focus on this. Go.
My next step was to take your phone and throw it in the woods, but I figured that'd be frowned upon.
Yeah, might have worked. Might have been a good thing, actually.
The doctor, do you have, well, I'll go next. So I will say that I was also a lot younger then. I was getting ready for Junior Worlds in 2006, I believe it was. So I was only like 22, 23, but in the summers when I was in college, in the summers, I worked on a farm and we baled hay and did everything like that. So I grew up on a farm and lived on a farm too, but I actually worked for a different farmer, mostly just doing baling hay and stuff like that. But anyway, we had a pretty long day like other people would hire us to like bale their hay as well. Like it was kind of what we did. But we started, I remember we started at 7 a.m. that day, and we didn't get done until about 4 a.m. the next day. And I had basically same scenario. I had my last heavy deadlift day before leaving for Worlds. So I got home at 4, laid down, got up at 5, and went into the gym and deadlifted, and then came home at 6 and went back to sleep, and then got up and went back to work at 7. Which, I mean, that was a one-time thing. Like it's really, I know people that have had way worse, so I've been fortunate, I guess, because that's my worst day that I can think of that I still trained. So.
Sounds like you had a good excuse not to do it that day.
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess I could say the day, like I got in a car accident and so my kids were in a car and somebody rammed into it. And so the whole back, like the trunk was like in, and my kids okay, everybody's okay. But I mean, I was just so tired. It was the day before, so the next day, Monday. So we were just exhausted and I still had to go into work. I had a pretty bad day at work. And I didn't have a car, so I had my husband. I told my husband, just please just work it out, just figure it out. And he did, just as amazing as he is. I mean, he got me a rental and I'm like, I just want to go to practice today. That's it. Like, let me rewind. I was like, I just want to come home and I want to leave work early. I want to come home. I just want to sleep. And then, you know, we talked about it. And, you know, after talking to him, I was like, you know what, just get a car, take care of it. And I'm going to do my best to just show up to practice. So, I mean, it was really, really stressful. And I just wanted to go home, but I knew how I would feel afterwards. And like, again, my husband is so supportive. He got me a car and I showed up. And then, I mean, I just told Josh, I'm like, you know, at least, when, you know, we're still alive and, you know, all is well. And like, you know, it's just train. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did, just train. I knew how I feel afterwards. And I knew when I got to practice, you know, Josh would be understanding. So, you know, just made it through. And then, you know, that set me up for the rest of my week. So, I felt better. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I think it could translate really well into a one of those new lifter tips. Just show up.
Just show up.
Just show up. Because that's all you really, once you get your feet in the door and you start going into the program, you're just going to be another day that you train. And that's kind of the consistency part that's really important.
Yeah. So I was going to, my closing question was going to be, do you have any, I guess, words or suggestions or motivation for anybody that's struggling with time and whatnot, but I think the just show up might be the answer.
Yeah. So just show up, and have a good support system. So whether it means like, family, you know, like my sister also helps, my husband helps, my in-laws like help, like I grab everybody like I can. Oh, sorry. Sorry, hold on.
Are you good?
I better hurry up. Yeah, so just show up and make sure you set yourself up with a good support system. So just get help, like take the help, because you know some people they want to do everything themselves. With kids and new lifters, like you're gonna need help, you know what I mean? Like you know, especially if you have, you know, like little kids, you're gonna need take the help, set yourself up and prepare for the week. So it does take scheduling, it does take, you know, making sure you have everything set up. So it's not as easy as like, oh, I'm just gonna wake up and how do I feel today? It's like, no, I have to you know, the week before I have to schedule for Monday, Tuesday, this is exactly what's going to happen. You know, the kids are going to get picked up at this time. I already have dinner prepared and you know what I mean? Like you got to do a lot of work just to be able to do what you want to do, to have time for yourself. You have to actually do work. Yeah. It's a lot, but right. It can be done.
But I mean, I think that's important, especially like right now, like you have to be very intentional about things, you know, when you're carving out time for yourself. And I really liked what you had about the, you know, having that meeting on Sunday nights and just talking about like what this is what we're going to do for the week. And this is how we're going to prepare for it. So that way you have a plan. You're like, this is what I'm going to do. And now all you have to do is stick to the plan.
Right.
Yep. That's all. That's all.
Yeah. So make a plan, stick to the plan and just show up.
Awesome. I like it.
Good stuff.
Well, I think your kids came in a little bit ago, so we probably have taken up more of your time than we should have, but really, really appreciate you being on.
Yeah.
And I think you had a lot of interesting insight, and hopefully that helps people out there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah, well,
thank you.
Definitely. All right. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at PL Ballads Podcast and shoot us an email if you have any questions, comments, concerns, plballadspodcast@gmail.com. And one quick shout out, happy birthday to James Vang. His birthday is Thursday, March 25th. Yeah. So if you know James, tell him happy birthday. Tell him Powerlifting and Power Ballads sent you. All right, guys. Thanks again to Docu for being on. We'll catch you guys later.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye now.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode of the Powerlifting and Power Ballads podcast, please remember to subscribe and share it with your friends.